Well, hello and welcome to Hilltop Church Online. These are our sermons and what we share from the church from Sunday to Sunday. And we understand that during the COVID-19 virus concerns, we have no public meetings. And so we meet this way, by way of audio and over the internet. Before we go into our message this morning, let me pray with you. Heavenly Father, thank you for this Good Friday and this Easter weekend. Thank you that you loved us so much that you sent Jesus to die for us. Speak to our hearts today about what Good Friday truly is about. We ask in your holy and your precious name. Amen. You might have asked the question, why Good Friday? Why do we call Good Friday good? It's such a dark and bleak event commemorating the day of suffering and death for Jesus. Why call it good? For Christians, Good Friday is a crucial day of the year because it celebrates what we believe to be the most monumentous weekend in the history of the world. Ever since Jesus died and was raised, Christians have proclaimed the cross and the resurrection of Jesus to be the decisive turning point for all creation. Paul considered it to be of first importance that Jesus died for our sins, was buried and raised to life on the third day, all in accordance with what God had promised all along in the scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 reads, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures." On Good Friday, we remember the day Jesus willingly suffered and died by crucifixion as the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. You might want to look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 10. Good Friday's followed by Easter. It's a glorious celebration of the day that Jesus was raised from the dead, heralding his victory over sin, death, and pointing ahead to a future resurrection for all who are united with him in faith. Still, why call the day of Jesus' death Good Friday rather than Bad Friday or something similar? Some Christian traditions do take this approach. In German, for example, the day is called, and please forgive my pronunciation, Karfreitag, or Sorrowful Friday. In English, in fact, the origin of the term good is debated. Some believe it developed from an older name, God's Friday. Regardless of the origin, the name Good Friday is an entirely appropriate title because of the suffering of Jesus' death, and death, rather, of Jesus. As terrible as it was, marked the dramatic culmination of God's plan to save his people from their sins. In order for the good news of the gospel to have meaning for us, we first have to understand the bad news of our condition as sinful people under condemnation. The good news of deliverance only makes sense once we see how we are enslaved. Another way of saying this is that it's important to understand and distinguish between law and gospel in the scriptures. We need the law first to show us how hopeless our condition is, and then the gospel of Jesus' grace, yes, the good news, comes and brings us relief and salvation. In the same way, Good Friday is good because as terrible as that day was, it had to happen for us to receive the joy of Easter. The wrath of God against sin had to be poured out on Jesus, the perfect sacrificial substitute, in order for forgiveness and salvation to be poured out on the nations, on all mankind. Without that awful day of suffering, of sorrow, and shed blood at the cross, God could not be both just and the justifier of those who trust in Jesus. When you're looking at your Bible, turn to Romans 3, verse 26. It speaks to this. Paradoxically, the day that seemed to be the greatest triumph of evil was actually the death blow in God's glorious good plan to redeem the world from bondage. The cross is where we see the merging of great suffering and God's forgiveness. Psalm 85, verse 10 sings of a day when righteousness and peace will kiss each other. The cross of Jesus is where that occurred, where God's demands, his righteousness, coincided with his mercy. We receive divine forgiveness, mercy, and peace because Jesus willingly took our divine punishment, the result of God's righteousness against sin. Hebrews 12, verse 2 reads, "For the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross on Good Friday, knowing that it led to his resurrection, our salvation, and the beginning of God's reign of righteousness and peace." Good Friday marks the day when wrath and mercy met at the cross. And that's why Good Friday is so dark and so good. Some years back, I saw a cartoon strip in the newspaper. It was entitled BC. It set in prehistoric times. It was drawn by the cartoonist Johnny Hart, and it featured a group of cavemen. Hart himself was raised in a casually religious family. He attended a Christian Sunday school regularly, and although his formal education ended with high school, he was fascinated by the Bible from a young age. In 1984, there was a distinguishable shift in Hart's spirituality, and Hart and his wife Bobby began attending a congregation of the Presbyterian Church in Nineveh, New York. In his later years, he sparked controversy by incorporating overtly Christian themes and messages into his BC comic strip, stating he thought the strip would increase religious awareness. I like a particular cartoon from Johnny Hart. The first frame shows Peter, a caveman. He's sitting on a mountainside looking out over a valley, and he says to his friend, "I hate the term Good Friday." To which his fellow caveman, Curls, asks, "Why?" Peter replies, "My Lord was hanged on a tree that day." Curls looks back and asks, "If you were going to be hanged on that day, and he volunteered to take your place, how would you feel?" The last frame of the cartoon strip shows Peter saying, "Good." And Curls, walking away, replies, "Have a nice day." It's Good Friday. Good Friday is good because of the forgiveness. Good Friday is good because of the love. And Good Friday is good because of the freedom we experience because Jesus took our place. He took our place. As followers of Jesus, we need to embrace Good Friday, which is a little bit like saying we need to embrace torture, because his means of death, crucifixion, was a method of capital punishment in which the victim was tied or nailed to a large wooden beam. It was a cruel and torturous death. He would be left to hang, perhaps for several days, until eventual death from exhaustion and asphyxiation. Crucifixion was usually intended to provide a death that was particularly slow and painful, hence the term excruciating, meaning literally out of crucifying. Crucifixion was gruesome. It was humiliating. It was done in public. And yet the crucifixion of Jesus is central to Christianity. And the cross is the main religious symbol for many Christian churches. And it all took place. It all goes back to Good Friday. Can I take you to just four brief reflections on the cross? Our scripture passage today is found in the Gospel of Matthew. It's Matthew chapter 16. You'll find our starting point at verse 21. "From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. 'Never, Lord,' he said. 'This shall never happen to you.' Jesus turned and said to Peter, 'Get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men.' And then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it." Our first point is Friday is the road to Sunday. Good Friday is the day we remember the crucifixion of Jesus. But there's more to it than remembering. There's a call to the cross. We want to embrace the resurrection, but Jesus calls us to the cross too. There's a famous sermon in which a recurring line is, "It's Friday, but Sunday's coming." More properly, the point of the story is that Friday is the road to Sunday. Some years back, Archbishop Fulton Sheen made a quote that goes this way, "Unless there's a Good Friday in your life, there can be no Easter Sunday. There is no resurrection without the cross. And my job as a pastor is to tell the truth to God's people. There's a Good Friday for all of us. All of us must come to the cross." Second point is everyone has a problem with the cross. The very idea of Good Friday causes us concern. The problem is that both his power and wisdom led him to the cross. It's a brutal denial of everything he'd done before. Those who had seen his power wondered why he seemed powerless at his greatest need. And those who saw his intelligence wondered how someone so smart could miscalculate so badly. Both sides missed what Jesus and his Father were saying. The Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 24 reads, "Unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it produces many." Not just his words, Jesus' very life is a parable. It wasn't just the people of Jesus' day who had a problem with the cross. The people we speak to week after week have a problem with the cross. Religious-minded people want miracles and power. Intellectually-minded people want wisdom and truth. And what God offers to us first of all is the cross. The earliest believer called the cross the wisdom of God and the power of God. This is a stumbling block for us to consider today, that both his power and his wisdom led him to the cross. People prefer not to dwell on such things. After all, who respects suffering? When's the last time you had friends over? Well, due to the virus, been a while. But think back to a time. Was there ever a time when you had friends over and said, "Let's just spend some time talking about suffering"? No, it doesn't happen that way. There's a little line that we've heard that says things are always darkest before the dawn, but there's another thought that things are always darkest just before they go pitch black. It's then in the darkness of truth, the truth that our own power, our own smarts are never going to be enough. It's there that we discover we need to rely solely on the promise of our Heavenly Father. The third point is, Friday means the beginning of change. Good Friday provides the opportunity to proclaim, once you've been to the cross, everything changes. Stumbling blocks and foolishness turn into power and wisdom. The cross changes everything. If something's pursuing you, something's got a hold on you, then perhaps the event that will change everything for you is found at the cross. If nothing in your life is changing, maybe you haven't been to the cross. Easter is indeed about the empty tomb. But, friends, first there's Good Friday. First it's about the cross. And why are we in such a hurry to rush Jesus on up to heaven? Let's just jump to the resurrection. Is it because the cross doesn't fit into our picture of how things really ought to be? Listen, it didn't fit into anyone's picture back then either. Friday, though, is the road to Sunday, and the cross was the road to the resurrection. In preparing this week, an old hymn crossed my mind. You'll remember these first couple of verses. "Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? Was it for crimes that I had done? He groaned upon the tree, amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. It's at the cross that change takes place. It takes place in you. It takes place in me. It was the road for Jesus, and it's the road for us. The cross. Point four is Jesus demonstrated faith over circumstance. Can we say God promises never to forsake you, but also add, it doesn't always feel that way, right? Here are two phrases Jesus uttered from the cross. Why have you forsaken me? And Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. How can those two go together? Even at his death, Jesus showed us how to trust the Father beyond the circumstances. Jesus predicted his death and his resurrection. It's one thing to predict the future. It's quite another to go to the cross willingly. At least three times, Jesus shared his destiny with the disciples. They didn't catch it. They didn't understand. More challenging still is the fact that Jesus embraced this destiny by faith. He knew the Father's promise of resurrection, but death still lay ahead of him. And death is still death, even for Jesus. It was his trust in the Father's promise that caused him to wager everything he had, his very life, as a man. Jesus modeled how to trust the Father. And so we're here. We're at Good Friday. And our first point was Friday's the road to Sunday. There is no Easter Sunday. There is no resurrection without Good Friday and the cross. The death, the crucifixion of Jesus. Our second point was that everyone has a problem with the cross. It's not nice. It's not smooth. It's not soft. It's harsh. It's cruel. It's excruciating. Everyone has a problem with the cross. The third point was Friday means the beginning of change. There's change needed in our lives if we are to attain eternal life with God. Friday means the beginning of change. It was there that things changed. Man was condemned to die in a godless eternity. And then came Jesus. God provided that way back into relationship with him. It was the beginning of change. And lastly, Jesus demonstrated faith over circumstances. He knew what was coming. He knew what it held. And yet he placed his faith in God, his Heavenly Father, that he would bring him through. What are you facing? What are you dealing with? What are the circumstances surrounding your life that you're thinking, there is no hope? It's dark. It's harsh. It's hopeless. Can I tell you, there's a place for faith in God? That God would take you beyond your circumstances, that he has a plan for your life, that what he started at the cross, he would continue today in your heart and life. He provides, by way of the cross, a way of reintroducing us into relationship with him. Well, Steve, I'm not so sure I understand all of this. Maybe you're sitting there in the comfort of your own home, listening to this over the internet, and you're feeling some sort of urging within your own life, your own spirit. You're saying, there's something calling me. We believe that's the Holy Spirit drawing you to a point where you would accept God and his gift of salvation, that gift of Jesus' life. The place where he took your place, where he took my place. It's not big and involved. It's not difficult. It's not a multi-step plan. But Scripture says that if you would believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, Scripture says you can be saved. Saved from what? From that godless eternity. Let me lead you in a brief prayer. It simply goes, Dear Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God and that you died for my sins on the cross. Please come into my life and forgive me of my sins and help me to live for you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I believe that if you prayed that prayer sincerely, that change took place in your life. And it's a change because of the cross of Good Friday, because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that there is new life in you and there's a relationship with your Heavenly Father. And that someday there's an eternal life for you with God in heaven. It's been a pleasure to be able to share with you. God bless you today. I pray that you have a wonderful Easter weekend, a good Friday, and a glorious Easter Sunday. That's all for now. We'll see you next time.